and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of September 2nd. What the hell?
Flip, is it September already?
I don't know. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and I don't know what the heck you were thinking about watching on Netflix, Melissa Hansen.
I know. I'm silly. Okay, so what I did in entertainment this week. Yeah. I watched Transformers Dark Side of the Moon.
I think it's actually Dark of the Moon.
Oh, it is Dark of the Moon. I keep saying it. Well, they're the ones that put the Pink Floyd reference in the damn movie.
I suppose.
And then they don't call it that, and then they think we're going to call it the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. I obviously paid as much attention to the title as I did the damn movie.
What compelled you to even...
I don't know. Okay, so I saw the first one when it came out on DVD. I certainly didn't see it in the theater. It came out on DVD, I watched it. Act fine. Action-y movie.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't see the second one. And then this one, I was going a few weeks ago, whatever, I'm going through Netflix, and I see it. And I'm like, oh, I never did see the second and third ones. Maybe I'll just, might as well watch them. I'll just throw them in the queue so they're there if I want to. So I throw it in the queue, and I go to throw the second one in the queue. Well, they don't have the second one on Netflix. They only have Dark of the Moon on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, it's in my queue, and like we're trying to figure out what to watch. And it was like, you want to watch that? I'm like, okay, whatever. Of course, I don't realize the frickin' thing is like 2 hours and 40 minutes long.
It's a Michael Bay movie.
Jeez Louise.
It's the epitome of self-indulgence.
I was like done with it about 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And then just zoned out for most of it anyhow. But no, it's just seriously, I'm still like next day, I keep shaking my head, trying to like put my brain cells back in the right place. They've all like died off and fallen out.
Yeah. I saw all three of them in the theater and I'm still paying the price.
Oh, good Lord. That's torture. Send that shit down to Guantanamo, man. I'm telling you. Anyhow, no, it was a crappy movie on every level. I'm sure that people loved it and like thought it was interesting. I thought it was whatever. I don't know. I had a bunch of bones to pick with it, but it's so, I don't know. It wasn't like a good movie that had certain things wrong with it that was upsetting.
Yeah.
It was just boring. It was confusing. And again, I wasn't paying that much attention because I didn't care. But it was confusing and disjointed and ridiculous. And of course, I think things that were supposed to be funny, I did not find that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then you had like John Malkovich in the middle for like all pan and talking weird for no reason.
And Ken Jeong was in there and
for like a few minutes and then like out a window. Like it was just wacky. Nothing made sense to me. How did they get Frances McDormand? What bet did she lose? And then also like, okay, how much money did they spend on the effects? But they couldn't hire like a hair and makeup girl for Frances McDormand? Like her hair was like ratty and like she just put it up in a clip kind of thing to get it out of her face. Like, you know, I do Saturday nights when I'm sitting home watching damn stupid movies.
Oh my God.
Anyhow, no, it was ridiculous. Now and there was just ridiculous things. So it takes place, tell me if I'm wrong here, it takes place in DC, most of it.
Yeah.
Correct. Except the whole like Ronald Lovabore McDreamy's cool offices is actually like the art museum in Milwaukee. Which is just known and obvious what it is. So when you show it, I'm like, we're in Milwaukee now? But I guess not. They were just using it because it's a cool building.
Yep.
But DC. So then at the end of the movie, they go to Chicago. But before they've gone to Chicago, right, the bad guys are coming into DC.
Yep.
But there's like an Aurora, Illinois, like street sign they knocked down. Because they filmed a lot, set in DC, but filmed a lot in Chicago, even the stuff that wasn't set there.
Yes.
But like, you seriously, all this FX, you couldn't go put like a DC street on it? Oh my God. The one thing I would love about this movie, and if anybody is brave enough to have watched it and watched like the bonus features or anything on the DVD, I would love to see raw footage of the Chicago stuff.
Oh.
Because I want to see what was set and what was location, what was practical and what was FX.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would find interesting in this. Because
you know they shut down all of Michigan Avenue in the middle of the day. It was like an unprecedented amount of time.
Insane what they shut down the city for. Yeah. But I still want to, like, see what actually it looked like, what they actually filmed and what was actually shut down and what whatever. And that's the other thing, too. Being from Chicago, seeing the city torn up was actually disturbing.
It was.
Kind of thing. But... Boy, Yeah, so that didn't add to my enjoyment.
Well, and my favorite part of the whole thing is you have all this 2.5 hours worth of drama and conflagration and all of these manipulations. And basically what it comes down to is Rosie Huntington Wheatley saying like 2 sentences to Megatron.
Okay. Yeah, this is my other thing. Okay, so you always have the little damsel in distress, the pretty girl. Who, right. That poor girl, too. Rosie, they made her run around in heels.
Yeah, but if you look, there are certain points where her heels disappear.
There are. I did notice that.
Yeah.
I'm like, because there was one point, I'm like, oh, good, they have her in flats. And then I saw her in heels later.
Yeah.
So depending, but it was just ridiculous. But the whole thing is usually that, at least at some point, she's stuck, she's trapped, she's going to be killed, she rises up or whatever point, like her boyfriend's going to get hurt. So, you know, the heroine smacks the bad guy over the head with a vase or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? She finally stands up and does something physical. No, they didn't even give her that. She had a smart ass bitch line. That's like it. And you're right. And that's what like changed the whole movie.
Right.
Was her like, you're his bitch.
Yep.
Like, that's the whole, really? Your big like game changer in the movie? Why they? And then the whole thing, you have Kevin Dunn and Julie White as his parents like show up for like a little bit of comic relief. But like they're in a trailer and then all of a sudden they're in the middle of the street and he's running out there. And it's like, what the hell are they even doing here?
Just be glad you didn't see the second movie. Because half of it was the two of them being completely obnoxious.
Oh, I see. That to me would be fun. It just didn't make any sense. Like, why? Okay, they're visiting him, whatever. But, like, why are they in a trailer in the middle of a street in D.C.? Like, oh, my God. There wasn't a single thing in this that made sense. And I was not expecting. And that's why I'm like, I don't have to watch the second one. I can watch this one. There's not going to be some big plot hole that I'm missing, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This was painful.
Well, and you know the next one is starring, what, Jason Statham and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Thank God Shia was out. But the funny thing about this, and I brought up when I was watching it, this is the one that I knew, you know, Shia was in town filming. Because remember, he got busted at Walgreens.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Drunk and inappropriate in the middle of the night at a Walgreens downtown Chicago. And they ended up calling the cops on him and had him, like, removed.
You're right. I've completely forgot.
He was, like, drunk off his ass in the middle of a Walgreens in Chicago. Yeah. Hi, yi, yi. That's a much better story than this. I can tell you that. That's the movie I'd watch. All right. Anyhow, what did you do? Because that is way enough talking about.
Well, I saw The Great Gatsby for the first time, and I had meant to do this last week. I was going to review it because I never read the book. I never saw the Robert Redford movie. I have no connection to these characters whatsoever. And people are like, how could you have ever escaped growing up and not reading The Great Gatsby? And I read and studied Twain and Homer and Shakespeare. But I just never got around to Hemingway or F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just never happened. So Baz Luhrmann, right? Big fan of Moulin Rouge when I saw it. I liked what he did with Romeo and Juliet. I didn't necessarily love it, but I appreciated it. Never saw Australia. So I was going into this being somewhat of a Baz Luhrmann fan because I know he's bold in his choices and he's not afraid to take risks and do things that other filmmakers would not do. The first 15 minutes of this was kind of Moulin Rouge-ish in that he was trying to meld hip-hop with 1920s culture and music stylings and all this. And it didn't really work for me, and I got very frustrated because I'm thinking, if this is going to be 2.5 hours of this, my head is going to explode.
Right.
Then it settles down, and all that goes away, and you've got this, again, still stylized, but a really intense character drama. And he does use subtle music. I mean, Florence and the Machine, right, is in there. He does these great – he brings these great artists in to do these musical – Lana Del Rey is in there to do these musical cues and these underscoring things. But it's all underplayed under the action. So you still have this story and these characters that are going on. And I was kind of drawn into this world and into these characters to see – what would eventually happen. Not a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan. Have never been. Leo does. he always feels to me like he's playing dress up. And like today, yeah. I'm going to be the, you know, the Southern wacky gentleman in Django Unchained. And
I don't think he's a great actor, but I love watching him. That's the difference.
Yeah.
I think he gets these huge roles that are so beyond him in so many ways, beyond his age, beyond his talents, beyond just like his physical looks.
Yeah.
But I love watching him for some reason.
Yeah. Well, and he did it with Shutter Island. You know, he put on the Boston accent and went.
It was completely inappropriate for that. Like he didn't fit physically either. To me.
And that's kind of what he does here. And if I heard him say Old Sport one more time, I was going to reach into the screen and smack his face because I just got tired of hearing it. Tobey Maguire is another guy that I'm not a huge fan of because Toby is pretty much Toby in everything. I mean, he's the same person, just playing a different character. And this is Nick Carraway's story. So it's basically Toby narrating. You know, it's from his perspective and how this stuff all in. So those two guys are very dominant in the film, and I had some issues with that. But then you have Carey Mulligan, who I adore, and Joel Edgerton. You want to talk about losing yourself in a role.
Mm-hmm.
So he played Buchanan, and he just dominated. I mean, the screen lights up whenever he's on. And there was another actress who played Jordan, who was the golfer. It's an interesting movie to watch. I would highly recommend anybody who's even come close to the text or is curious about this, what is now considered a highly respectable piece of literature. It wasn't at the time when he wrote it. It wasn't. I mean, it had some critical acclaim, but it didn't sell worth of anything. It wasn't until well after his death that this, you know, became a respected piece of literature. So see it. But don't go in thinking that it's going to be this amazing experience. It is compelling, but there are problems with it.
Okay. So. All right. Good to know. Lower my expectations.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
That's a re-endorsement.
Well, and he's a very visual filmmaker, and what you get are some amazing visuals.
Right. Right. You know,
it's a very visual tale that he lays out for us. With mixed bags of performances and, you know, music and, but it's a feast for the eyes and for the brain. So, in any case, box office this past week, kind of on par with last week, not overwhelming, but what rose to the top, I'm scratching my head over.
It's first glance, I'm like, what the hell? And second glance, I'm like, yeah, of course it is. One Direction. This is us. 17 million, number one.
How do we keep... I had thought the boy band craze would eventually die out, and then every
once in a while... And it's never going to, and it never will. I mean, think about it. I mean, like, my generation, we had New Kids, and after that, you know, you had a whole lot of them at once, you know, NSYNC and Backstreet, 98 Degrees and whatever. But go back. I mean, even, like, Jackson 5 was a boy band.
Sure. The Beatles could actually be considered a boy band.
Actually, they could very well. I mean, they were a little bit older at the get-go, but...
The Stones.
You know, obviously, they hugely evolved.
Oh, of course.
Different. But you're right. It was. I mean, that was their start. It was poppy stuff. It was a group of young, good-looking guys with kind of poppy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the Who and the Stones started out that way, too, before they found their own voice.
Right. And it's, do you stick around and evolve, not just stick around doing the same type of stuff.
Right.
Like, New Kids has stuck around and has a resurgence, but it's similar stuff they're doing, which is great. People want to hear it. Go for it. Not knocking it, but they're still a boy band. They're just grown up now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, you all, well, not even that many of y'all. Obviously, your kids went and saw One Direction, but 17 million. Lee Daniels, the butler, hanging in there, 14.7 million.
Yeah, not much of a drop off from last week, surprisingly.
Were the Millers, 12.6.
My parents called today and said, "We love this movie. It was so funny."
All right, then. Planes, just under 8 million. Instructions not included, 7.5 million.
All right.
That is our top five.
You remember, it wasn't very long ago where comedies never made $100 million. Never, ever, ever grossed $100 million.
Yeah.
And now we have all these comedies that are now, I mean, where the Millers just passed over the $100 million.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about the viewing public or the fact that this is all that Hollywood's putting forward.
Putting out. Or just, like, the cost of things. too. Yep, that's cost true. Of tickets that's and, true. And things like that. Again, $100 million is not that much for a movie.
Yeah.
You have comedies. You have animated making that.
Yeah.
It's not just huge, massive, once-a-year blockbusters that make $100 million. They make $300 million now.
Right. Or a billion in some cases.
Right. So...
next week, we are definitely out of the summer and into the fall, more artistic season of Hollywood. Adore. So lifelong friends Naomi Watts and Robin Wright satisfy their midlife crisis sexual urges by sleeping with each other's 20-something-year-old sons.
Okay, then. Now, yeah. Because it's those actresses, maybe it's not crap.
I saw the trailer. It looks highly intense.
Yeah.
But there's that. On the same front, we have a teacher. So you have the sexual relationship between a high school teacher and the 17-year-old student. But it kind of focuses on her life unraveling as a result of her consequences.
Okay, yeah, it's not just like the titillation.
No, it's what happens after.
Afterwards, that's really the main part. Okay.
And then you have writer-director David Tui, Vin Diesel, and Katie Sackhoff returning to the world of Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
And Vin, by the way, also received his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this past week.
How much did he have to pay for that?
At last I remember it was something in the neighborhood of $38,000.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't know that.
No.
You have to be approved. You can't, I couldn't go apply and pay and get one. You have to approve for it, but you just pay to get it. Nobody gives it to you.
It is the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce that manages this whole thing. So, yep, it is a donation to the city of Hollywood. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, if you go over to DVDverdict.com, the upcoming releases page, which I am populating once again, Now You See Me, which was the magic crime heist movie with all these magicians, Morgan Freeman and Jesse Eisenberg and Michael Caine. And, that's out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. We have a ton of television because we are very close to the start of the new television season, and this is what always happens. The Office Season 9, Criminal Minds Season 8, Parks and Rec Season 5, Vampire Diaries Season 4, The League Season 4, Spartacus Season 3, Haven Season 3, Scandal Season 2, and Person of Interest Season 2.
Okay, then. Wow.
The infamous now Sharknado is hitting DVD and Blu-ray this week.
Oh, good. I can watch it now. I'm so excited. I'm pulling.
So if you didn't go to the theater, if you didn't see it on Sci-Fi Channel in one of its many viewings, now you can watch it. And Jillian Michaels, Yoga Spank Inferno. Actually, it's just Yoga Inferno.
All right. Anybody gets that, send us an email and you win a prize if you get that reference, that illusion. All right.
At Redbox this week, we've got Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne Johnson in Pain and Gain. Olympus Has Fallen with Morgan Freeman and Gerard Butler. The Killing Season with John Travolta and Robert De Niro. And At Any Price, in which Zac Efron plays a race car driver trying to impress his father, played by Dennis Quaid.
All right.
Yeah. I think that one went direct to DVD. I don't think that went to the theaters at all.
Already, Zach's direct to DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But the mighty have fallen.
Although,
well, some about Dennis Quaid. But
there is a rumor that Zach is being considered for Mark Hamill's son in Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, I like it.
So... That's just one of the many Star Wars rumors floating around at this point. Over at Netflix this week, Carl Urban is Dredd in the remake of the Judge Dredd film. Marlon Wayans parodies yet another scary movie, this one called A Haunted House. Paul Rudd is Our Idiot Brother, and I think we've talked about this on the show before. I saw this and I was... I love Paul Rudd, but there was something about this movie that didn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
But a lot of people love it, so you go see and be the judge. Ben Stiller is Greenberg, which is another one of his introspective kind of heady comedies, which I did not see. He plays kind of a guy who has agoraphobia or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And then Juno Temple in The Brass Teapot, which is another movie that's getting a lot of buzz and on the indie circuit and will certainly do so again. In the streaming world.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Hulu, Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Nice.
Gene Hackman in Hoosiers. Rodney Dangerfield and Joe Pesci in Easy Money, which as a teen with cable, I probably saw this movie like 15 times.
All right, then.
John Travolta in Get Shorty and Harvey Keitel in Bad Lieutenant.
Okay.
So lots of good stuff over at Hulu.
Yeah, and Hulu also, I have to make mention.
What?
Of something I didn't think we'd see on Hulu because what? The whole CBS, Hulu, whatever. They don't show. Anyhow, The Good Wife.
Oh.
The first, four seasons. Yes, is available on Hulu now. I don't know if they're going to be having as the new episodes air, but the previous stuff is all out there. And if you have not checked it out, yes, it's a little bit soap opera-ish, but so much more than that. Juliana Margulies just brings it week after week on that show.
Okay.
All right. That's my personal plug.
All right. That's all I've got for streaming this week.
Okay. Monday, celebrate your Labor Day with the roast of James Franco on Comedy Central.
Oh, boy.
That should be a win out of there.
Yeah, and I think Seth Rogen is hosting.
So, all right. Tuesday night, Extreme Weight Loss season finale on ABC. And then on Oxygen, there's a new show, My Big Fat Revenge. It's like, okay, it's like fat women who've gotten skinnier, but they're going to get back at their former classmates and boyfriends and stuff that were mean to them.
Oh, no.
By doing my practical joke, like setting them up on like bad blind dates or job interviews or something.
So it's punked.
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
But they spin it too as a whole so they can experience what the shame they felt and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyhow, let's see. I'll choose a Brickleberry, which is a new animated on Comedy Central.
From Daniel Tosh, from Tosh.0.
Okay. And then on History Channel, The American Top Gear has its season premiere.
Ugh.
On Wednesday, it's the actual, real, complete finale. Futurama.
Oh, they're all done, huh?
Yeah, because it got moved over to Comedy Central, got picked up for like a season, whatever. So okay. This is the actual finale of that.
All right.
Friday, CMT has a new show, Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, Making the Team.
Now, there was a movie with Kirstie Alley years ago. It was like a made-for-TV movie in which she auditioned for the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. Oh, no. No, I take that back. She was auditioning for a Playboy bunny. But yes. There was another movie about cowboy cheerleaders. It probably wasn't.
I think there's been a few about the Dallas Cowboy
cheerleaders. Okay, all right.
I think there's been a few of that. So, okay, also new Friday, Hello Ross on E! It's Ross Matthews, who used to be on like The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Oh, that's right. He was the little page.
He's been on Chelsea Lately a lot.
Okay.
He's been on panels on that. Anyhow, he finally has his very own show.
There you go.
All right. Sunday this week, Food Channel, Rachel and Guy, Kids Cook Off. So it's one of their competition shows, but it's kids this time. Woo. Right. And then also Sunday night, HBO, Boardwalk Empire, season premiere. Yeah. So whatever your taste is, Sunday night, you got something. Music this week, Hesitation Marks from Nine Inch Nails.
Hello.
Nice. The worse things get, the harder I fight, the harder I fight, the more I love you, by Nico Case. And then there's one called Rarities. It's by Rod Stewart, and it's a whole bunch of old stuff, B-sides, bunch of rarities.
Okay.
So if you're a fan of his old stuff, it's not the American Songbook stuff. It's like...
All right, his actual...
Beginnings.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then John Legend has a new one called Love in the Future. And then you Scandal TV fans can catch up on the last season. It's out on streaming now, but there's also a CD.
Ah.
Songs from Scandal, Music for Gladiators.
Okay.
So a whole bunch of stuff in the first couple of seasons of that on CD. Let's see. Books this week, Lee Child has the 18th in the Jack Reacher series.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize that.
Go back.
Oof.
We're in another one of those movies. I don't think it did well enough, did it?
I don't know.
Who knows? Half the time I think it doesn't do well enough. And
yeah.
Sometimes it, so.
He probably made $100 million for all we know.
Yeah. All right. Food Network fans, Michael Simon, 5 and 5, 5 fresh ingredients and 5 minutes equals 120 fantastic dinners. And there's a new book called Salinger. Okay, I can talk. Salinger.
Yeah.
It's by David Shields and Shane Salerno. It's all this research and interviews, it's a documentary that's coming out.
Yeah. is playing at the Telluride Film Festival.
It is playing at Telluride Film Festival, and we're going to throw in a little news here.
Yep.
The makers of that, I don't know if you had this set, but just were in a plane accident getting into Telluride.
I saw that.
So, and we didn't have confirmation about if there were injuries or
not. It didn't sound like it, but it definitely got shook up. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, the book based on that documentary.
All right.
And then there's another one, Psychology. No, it's S-I-cology.
Yeah.
Tales and Wisdom from Duck Dynasty's Favorite Uncle.
Oh, for God's sake.
Cy Robinson's.
Ugh.
So anyhow, you can enjoy his, quote, tall tales, crazy exploits, and quirky one-liners. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Theater news is theater gossip.
Uh-oh.
And then we'll go right into the rest of the gossip.
All right.
Okay. Glenn Berger, who wrote Spider-Man.
Yes.
The musical.
Who should forever be banned from Broadway. Yes.
Right. Anyhow, so he co-wrote the script with Julie Taymor.
Yeah.
Right? He just released a book, Song of Spider-Man, the inside story of the most controversial musical in Broadway history.
Oh, boy.
And so it's all about his time when Spider-Man turned off the dark. It doesn't hit shelves till November, but it's being parts of it are being released, and he takes Julie Taymor to task.
It's scandalo.
So, yeah. So we'll have to wait for everything it says, but you can get snippets and interviews and stuff with him now.
Oh, boy. Look out.
Oh, yeah. So claws are coming out, I think.
All right.
I don't know. Web slingers are coming out. I don't know. Some kind of plan words there that I am not quick enough to come up with.
Well, entertainment news. We're going to start off with yet another death. This time it's British journalist David Frost, who is best known for the Frost-Nixon interviews and the basis for the Ron Howard's film. David was a highly respected British journalist who then really this Nixon thing put him right into the forefront. I mean, he was the Anderson Cooper, the Walter Cronkite of his day. I mean, in terms of, I wouldn't say Cronkite. Cronkite was an anchorman, but David was kind of that investigative reporter who bared his teeth and went after exactly what the story he wanted, and did not hold back. So he is gone. Legendary Pictures, having severed its ties with Warner Brothers and gotten into bed with Universal, is already off and running on the reboot of The Mummy, which just lost its director. The remake of Dracula, which is currently in production, starring Luke Evans as the bloodsucker. And now it's getting its hands into Steven Spielberg's Jurassic Park 4.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So this was Legendary was the company that was behind financing for movies like The Dark Knight and Superman and things like that at Warner Brothers. 42-star Chadwick Boseman continues his biopic ways, or some people say biopic.
That is just one of your pet peeves.
It is. I'm sorry. It's like myopic. It just doesn't work. He takes on the mantle of the Godfather of Soul, Mr. James Brown, and Get On Up, a film that will apparently co-star Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer.
All right.
And maybe we'll get to see him beat the crap out of the women in his life.
Okay, then.
Matt Damon joins the cast of Chris Nolan's Interstellar and is talking with Argo writer Chris Terrio about directing his next script, A Murder Foretold. So, of course, Matt has to keep pace with Ben now that Ben has done so many films. Now Matt has to start directing films. Speaking of Chris Nolan, J.J. Abrams will be producing a remake of the 70s sci-fi classic Westworld from Michael Crichton for HBO, but it's going to be written and directed by Chris Nolan's brother and creative partner Jonathan, who co-wrote the Dark Knight trilogy with him. James Spader will voice the malevolent robot Ultron for Joss Whedon's Avengers sequel.
I like it.
Yeah, and he's got a new series this fall. I think it's on NBC. He's playing a Hannibal Lecter-esque character.
Yeah, he's like a bad guy, but he's helping the good guys to get even badder guys.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah, he's a criminal that ends up working with them. And
right.
Yeah, he's creepy. I've seen previews. He looks creepy. Yeah, some people are like, you're playing a villain. I'm like, did y'all not see Pretty in Pink?
Yeah.
He can play a damn good villain.
Yes, he's been doing it for a long time.
So there.
Zack Snyder's Batman Superman movie will shoot in Detroit. Sci-Fi Channel hopes to bring Terry Gilliam's 12 Monkeys to series. They're shooting a pilot this winter from the production team of Terry.
Oh.
A little late to the party on that one, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, how long ago? But also, how do you, I don't know, make that a series?
Well, and Sci-Fi Channel is known for their low budgets.
Wow. Okay.
But it's from the guys, Terry Matalas and Travis Fickett, who are behind such shows as Nikita and Terra Nova. Now, Terra Nova was one of the most expensive television series ever produced. Sci-Fi Channel doesn't have that money. So I don't know. I think they need to round down their expectations on that. And finishing out the sci-fi news, Warner Brothers is ramping up production on a Twilight Zone movie from producer Leonardo DiCaprio, who hired Aaron Eli Kolit to write the screenplay while courting Tron Legacy and Oblivion director Joseph Kosinski to step into the director's chair. Now, none of this is written in stone yet. Kolit cut his teeth on shows like NBC's Heroes and Crossing Jordan, but apparently Warner Brothers wants to turn this into a franchise. So, I mean, Twilight Zone, the original movie that came out that John Landis did, it was four separate stories, like an anthology thing, four short stories that were kind of based on some of the episodes of the television series. This is going to be one story, and they're going to do one story per movie.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. And one more piece of news. Harry Connick joins American Idol alongside Keith Urban and J-Lo.
Well, I would care if I watched American Idol, but since I don't, I guess I don't. But I don't know. I love Harry Connick. So he gets a woohoo anytime his name's mentioned, no matter what relation to. Woohoo!
All right. Whatever you got left, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, geez Louise, my sweet little Lamar has been destroyed by the Kardashians, it looks like.
Well, I was at the gym the other day on the treadmill, and they're showing pictures of him, and it's like he's the loose cannon of the family they can't control.
Right. Which is like, really? Out of that bunch?
Yeah.
Sweet little Lamar's the one? But yeah, he's been in the headlines. If you want the whole rundown, go to like TMZ. But yeah, so he got kicked out by Khloé because he's a big druggie. We talked a little bit about this. But then, so he was kicked out of the house, and then he was missing. So then he came back to the house, but they're trying to get him in rehab. But he didn't get rehab, and it ends up he got in like a car accident a few days ago that didn't get reported. He like talked the people out of reporting it, but now the news found out. But then he just got a DUI.
Oh, my God.
And so he can't drive. And then he was at Blockbuster buying movies.
Do they even have Blockbusters anymore?
They do, obviously, because he was just in the Blockbuster in Calabasas, like, movies. Because I don't know where he's going with them, because supposedly Khloé won't let him back in the house until he goes to rehab. I don't know. But then, so anyhow, so he had a car accident. So the other quick news is, I don't know if it's spreading or what, but Kylie, right? She the youngest one? Whichever one just turned 16, got, like, in a multi-car collision.
Oh,
she
parented
somebody and smashed him into somebody else. And then the next day, she's driving her brand new, huge, you know, fancy schmancy $200,000 SUV after she, you know, trashed the first one.
You remember we saw those two girls at a taping of the Drew Carey show?
We did when they were little girls.
Right.
It just so I guess they're like, I don't know if it's Bruce Jenner or whoever's, they're friends with like Kathy Lee Gifford, who was guest starring in the episode.
That's right. That's right.
And we just happened to go. Like, we, visiting LA kind of thing, and it was you and me, and it was Pat Noggle, because he was living out there. Anyhow, we just, the three of us went, and in walks like Bruce Jenner, and we didn't know who she was then,
right?
Chris, and we didn't know it. So it's Bruce Jenner and his wife and his two little kids is sitting there to watch this, and now that's now they're crazy teenagers showing off their hoochies and crashing cars.
There you go. We just got an email update from the Telluride Film Festival that the documentary staff were uninjured after the plane's belly landing. Yeah. Nobody hurt in that. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. Right. It's a Nicktoons animated series, the latest DVD collection of Monsuno Combat Chaos.
Oh, my.
5 action-packed episodes.
All right.
So you can win that one for your kiddos.
All right, so check that out at dvdverdict.com. And thank you again, as always, for reading our reviews and for listening to the show. We will be back next week. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
If we get to see tomorrow, I hope it's worth all the wait. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.